Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. And in this half hour, we'll be turning to water issues and, in particular, the latest natural resources under attack by this administration, America's rivers. We'll tell you about the Bush administration attempting to hand America's rivers over to the hydropower industry and how they're trying to avoid public scrutiny, trying to do it under the radar. But that's what Eco Talk is here for, to let you know about what is happening, things you may not hear about or read about in mainstream media, and most importantly, what you can do about it. Last week it was the forest, this week it's the rivers. This would be a bad joke if it wasn't true. If it's not our air, our water, our Endangered Species Act, it's rivers and forests and more. Later in the program, we'll have a conversation with Terry Shore of the Blue Water Network with some information about air pollution from ocean-going vessels that idle in our ports, what can be done about it. First, though, a story focusing on cargo ships. We're delighted to hear from one of our sponsors, the NRDC. Daniel Heinerfeld reports on the latest concerns about the staggering amount of air pollution coming from ships in the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, just to name a few, and how it will get worse unless action is taken.
About 40% of the goods we bring into this country come through the adjacent seaports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. The ships, trucks, and trains that carry those goods emit toxic diesel air pollution that makes thousands of people sick and causes hundreds of premature deaths. And yet, to keep up with our demand for cheap imported goods, there's now a plan in California to triple the state's cargo capacity over the next 20 years. It has a lot of people worried. On a recent Sunday afternoon, Daniel Nord, a graphic designer, stood near a giant container ship unloading cargo from China. Daniel and his wife live in the neighborhood of San Pedro, home to the port of Los Angeles.
I have to wipe off a layer of soot that settles behind our house and inside as well every 3 or 4 days, and it's unbelievable. It gets on the car and everything else, but it's black, and it's what we're breathing in and day out.
I call it the diesel death zone.
That's Dr. John G. Miller, an emergency room physician and a longtime resident of San Pedro.
Many things that we see as physicians, health effects, things such as lung cancer, asthma, heart attacks, strokes, some of these are caused by air pollution.
The twin ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are the biggest air polluters in Southern California. They churn out nearly 20% of the soot in the entire air basin, and the people who live near them suffer most. Julie Masters is a lawyer who sues air polluters for the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Residents by ports and by rail yards and by distribution centers already face some of the highest cancer risks in the state. So when we're talking about a tripling of the goods movement industry, that is tremendous from a clean air perspective and from a public or human health perspective.
In San Pedro and other port communities, residents are beginning to question whether the benefits of foreign trade are worth the cost in human health. Again, Daniel Nord.
One of the issues that I have related to this kind of distribution is that our local community has to pay the price for someone in Chicago or Arizona getting a cheap TV.
I mean, that's certainly one way to state it.
Doug Tilden is president and CEO of the Marine Terminals Corporation.
My preference is to state it is there needs to be on both a regional and a federal level a recognition of the ports as national assets, and an attempt to balance the impacts of having these national assets that are locally domiciled and have local impacts.
Tilden and others in his industry think the best way to reduce local impacts is with federal regulation. They believe a patchwork of local and regional pollution controls would be bad for business.
Everyone is always trying to pass the buck.
That's Jesse Marquez. He runs the Coalition for a Safe Environment in the port town of Wilmington, California.
When we're the victims at the ground zero level, when we live here in this diesel death zone, when we have already been diagnosed and disclosed as being at the highest cancer risk due to diesel fuel emissions, we have to be able to look at the whole picture.
To Marquez and his neighbors, that means pushing for tougher pollution measures at all levels of government. NRDC attorney Julie Masters is using new legal strategies to do just that.
The ports have long said that they are the landlord, and they really have no control over the ships and the trucks and the yard equipment and the trains, but In actuality, because they are a landlord, they have control that others don't. When they enter into a lease with a shipping company, they can tell that shipping company what the terms are going to be. And those terms don't only have to include how much money they're going to get, but what kinds of green measures are going to be used.
There are plenty of ways to cut air pollution at seaports, including dockside electric power, which enables ships to turn off their dirty diesel generators. Again, Dr. Miller.
It's not at this point a technological problem. It is a political problem. It's a matter of getting those who are creating the pollution to either fix it or pay for it, pay for the damage they have caused.
For EcoTalk and NRDC, this is Daniel Heinerfeld in Los Angeles.
So the common thread in our next segment, which will be about rivers and what we're talking about in this segment, cargo ships, container ships, and the cruise industry, of course, that's water, but it's actually the air that's being polluted. And that's one of the ironies. You know, you think of cruise ships and being out in pristine waters. And in fact, people in the ports and the cities where these ships port are really suffering a lot. Just to bring home some of the statistics, you heard a few from Daniel's report, but air pollution from all vessels in U.S. waters is expected to grow 150% over the next 30 years. One cargo ship alone in New York Harbor releases as much pollution as 350,000 current year cars in just 1 hour. That is mind-boggling and, disgusting. In one port visit alone, a single cruise ship can generate the emissions of 12,400 cars. To tell us more about this and what can be done about it, we have Terry Shore joining us in the studio. She's with the Clean Vessels Campaign for Blue Water Network, located just a few blocks away here in San Francisco. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Betsy.
This is the dirty side of the cruising and cargo business.
Yes, unfortunately so. The problem is that these ships have been under the radar screen for so long, and where most of the trucks and the cars on road have been cleaned up 97% over the past decades, shipping engines have been essentially unregulated.
Now, there's places like Seattle where they've got a very forward-thinking mayor, Greg Nickels, who was part of this whole mayor's initiative to combat global warming. One of the things he's most proud of is that they have gotten ships in their port to stop idling, essentially. We know about the problems of school buses idling and cars idling, but what a brilliant idea. Turn off your engine. Why is that such a hard thing to do in other cities?
Well, one of the cruise lines has taken the lead and is plugging in both in Seattle and in Juneau, Alaska. And it's interesting because in those two, instances, the industry took the lead because they knew of the public relations nightmare with them polluting the air when these vessels come into port, spewing black air. So they've made a difference. So they've shown that it can be done, and the rest of the industry just needs to come along. And right now, they're still resisting.
I'm lucky enough to be out on the San Francisco Bay fairly frequently. My husband's a sailor, and even though I'm not, I go along for the ride. It's so beautiful. You see the Golden Gate Bridge and the hills and the city, and you always see these cargo ships with this black smoke coming out. And you look at it and you kind of think, well, I guess that's inevitable. That's just the price we pay, for commerce and civilization. But why is that not necessary to have that stuff coming out of those tankers? And what kind of cleaner fuels are available today and how often are they being used?
Well, one of the things that we're doing in San Francisco is there's going to be a new cruise ship terminal built, and we're pushing to have shoreside power installed so that the cruise ships can come in, turn off the dirty engines, plug into much cleaner electrical power, and that will get rid of it. That will immediately reduce the emissions while they're docked, so they won't be idling. In terms of the cargo ships and coming into the bay, one of the simple, straightforward solutions is cleaner fuels. I mean, the fuels that these vessels use are the bottom of the oil refining process. The bunker fuel that they use is thick. It's like asphalt, and it literally has to be heated. So they need to move away from that dirty fuel to cleaner marine fuels.
And everyone's affected, of course, because the wind blows and, all of a sudden we're all downstream.
Yes, that's true. It's not just the port communities. It blows far inland as well.
And what kind of health studies have been done? I'm sure many, many, to really connect the dots between this kind of heavy pollution and lung ailments.
Well, there are many, many studies out there. We know that diesel exhaust is cancer-causing from any source. And now we're getting the numbers in relation to ports. And in most ports, large ports like Oakland, L.A., Long Beach, about 50% of the emissions come from ships. So we need to address the ships immediately. And we see in ports around the world, not only in the U.S., but, Singapore, Hong Kong, the people who live around those ports have high risk of cancer and they're high rates of asthma. asthma. In some cases, one in five people living around the port has asthma.
So if our listeners maybe don't live in a port, but they're really concerned about this problem, as we all should be, what can they do to try to bring this up higher on the radar screens?
Well, one thing they can do is to support rules. Like in California, the Air Resources Board is proposing regulations that would require the ships to use cleaner fuel. So we need support in terms of letter to the Air Resources Board. Go to the bluewaternetwork.org website, and we have action items there where people can write to the cruise lines and ask for immediate action to clean up these ships with cleaner fuels and plug-ins.
Okay, and of course, not all our listeners live in California, but I'm sure wherever they live, there's something that they can do, because diesel pollution is not just on the coast.
That's right. I mean, we do have the Clean Cruise Ship Act, which is pending in Congress, that would prevent dumping from cruise ships around the U.S. So that's another way of showing your support for cleaning up the marine industry.
We have less than a minute, but is the cruise industry beginning to clean up its act? I know they were the focus of a lot of attention a few years back.
Yes, they are making some strides. The cruise industry tends to be very good at marketing. They're building huge new ships, some of the biggest in the world. They're spending $720 million on these ships, and very little on the air pollution. But they are beginning to at least look at the issue. And again, support for the Clean Cruise Ship Act would make a huge difference.
Terry Shore, one more time, a website people can go to for more information?
Yeah, www.bluewaternetwork.org.
And thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Betsy.
Terry Shore is the Clean Vessels Campaign Director for the Blue Water Network, out there working along with a lot of other good people to keep our waters blue and our air clear. You're listening to EcoTalk. Stay with us. We'll be right back talking about rivers, what's happening there.